They had people coming to dinner. The Norman Knights, a very sound couple. He was about to start a theatre, and she was awfully keen on interior decoration. A young man, Eddie Warren, who had just published a little book of poems and whom everybody was asking to dine, and a find of Bertha's called Pearl Fulton. What Miss Fulton did, Bertha didn't know. They had met at the club, and Bertha had fallen in love with her, as she always did fall in love with beautiful women who had something strange about them. The provoking thing was that, though they had been about together and met a number of times and really talked, Bertha couldn't yet make her out. Up to a certain point, Miss Fulton was rarely wonderfully frank, but the certain point was there, and beyond that she would not go. Was there anything beyond it? Harry said no, voted her dullish and cold like all blonde women, with a touch, perhaps, of anemia of the brain. But Bertha wouldn't agree with him. Not yet, at any rate. No, the way she has of sitting with her head a little on one side and smiling has something behind it, Harry, and I must find out what that something is.
Most likely it's a good stomach, answered Harry.
He made a point of catching Bertha's heels with replies of that kind.
Liver frozen, my dear girl.
Or
pure flatulence.
Or
kidney disease,
and so on. For some strange reason, Bertha liked this and almost admired it in him very much. Her petals rustled softly into the hall, and she kissed Mrs. Norman Knight, who was taking off the most amusing orange coat with a procession of black monkeys around the hem and up the fronts.
Why? Why? Why is the middle class so stodgy? So utterly without a sense of humour?
My dear, it's only by a fluke that I am here at all. Norman being the protective fluke. For my darling monkeys so upset the train that it rose to a man and simply ate me with its eyes. Didn't laugh, wasn't amused. That I should have loved. No, just stared and bored me through and through. But the cream of it was, said Norman, pressing a large tortoiseshell-rimmed monocle into his eye.
You don't mind me telling this face, do you?
In their home and among their friends, they called each other Face and Mug.
The cream of it was, when she, being full-fed, turned to the woman beside her and said, "Haven't you ever seen a monkey before?"
"Oh, yes," Mrs. Norman Knight joined in the laughter. "Wasn't that too absolutely creamy?"
And a funnier thing still was that now her coat was off, she did look like a very intelligent monkey, who had even made that yellow silk dress out of scraped banana skins. And her amber earrings, they were like little dangling nuts.
"This is a sad, sad fall," said Mug,
pausing in front of little Bee's perambulator.
"When the perambulator comes into the hall..."
And he waved the rest of the quotation away. The bell rang. It was lean, pale Eddie Warren, as usual, in a state of acute distress.
"It is the right house, isn't it?"
he pleaded.
"Oh, I think so. I hope so," said Bertha brightly.
"I have had such a dreadful experience with a taxi man. He was most sinister. I couldn't get him to stop. The more I knocked and called, the faster he went. And in the moonlight, the bizarre figure with the flattened head crouching over the little wheel."
He shuddered, taking off an immense white silk scarf. Bertha noticed that his socks were white too. Most charming.
"But how dreadful!" she cried.
"Yes, it really was," said Eddie, following her into the drawing room. "I saw myself driving through eternity in a timeless taxi."
He knew the Norman Knights. In fact, he was going to write a play for NK when the theatre scheme came off.
"Well, Warren, how's the play?"
said Norman Knight, dropping his monocle and giving his eyes a moment in which to rise to the surface before it was screwed down again. And Mrs. Norman Knight,
"Oh, Mr. Warren, what happy socks."
"I am so glad you like them," said he, staring at his feet. "They seem to have got so much whiter since the moon rose."
And he turned his lean, sorrowful young face to Bertha.
"There is a moon, you know."
She wanted to cry.
"I am sure there is, often, often."
He really was a most attractive person. But so was Face, crouched before the fire in her banana skins, and so was Mug, smoking a cigarette and saying, as he flicked the ash,
"Why doth the bridegroom tarry?"
"There he is now,"